Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune. Continuing a bit our weekly spin through national politics. And of course, last week we had the commemoration of the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landing of Allied troops in Normandy. And President Trump was there. And as he sat for an interview on Fox News in front of the crosses that mark the burial site of thousands of Americans in the American cemetery, President Trump used his interview to criticize Robert Mueller and Nancy Pelosi.
He made such a fool out of himself the last time she, because what people don't report is the letter he had to do to straighten out his testimony, because his testimony was wrong. But Nancy Pelosi, I call her Nervous Nancy, Nancy Pelosi doesn't talk about it. Nancy Pelosi's a disaster, okay? She's a disaster. And let her do what she wants. You know what? I think they're in big trouble.
That's at the American Cemetery in Normandy. And as far as Mueller having to write a letter to correct his testimony, there never was such a letter. Also on Fox Business News, Rona McDaniel, who chairs the Republican National Committee, and actually who was in Chicago last week, late last week, for fundraising, she said that on D-Day, we should be celebrating the President of the United States.
Well, 93% of the coverage has been negative. Yep. And I just have a reminder for the media. He's your president, too. This is our president. This is our country. We're celebrating the anniversary, 75 years of D-Day. This is a time where we should be celebrating our president, the great achievements of America. And I don't think the American people like this constant negativity.
D-Day to celebrate America. That's Rona McDaniel, the chairman of the Republican National Committee. We're going to bring things local now, and joining me here on the phone is Illinois State Senator Bill Brady. He is the State Senate Republican leader, and he's from Bloomington. Leader Brady, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Rick, great to be with you and your listeners.
You know, it was quite a wrap-up to the spring legislative session. And one of the things I'm curious about, and after the 4 years of the ideological battles that existed between Republican Governor Bruce Rauner and the Democratic-led General Assembly, after all that, if there wasn't kind of a return to a sense of normalcy that's occurred.
Yeah. Well, Rick, I would just say that my caucus and our 19 members went into this session with an open mind. We believed that Illinois needed to further invest in our children's education, our senior care, business reforms, and invest in our infrastructure. And we did everything we could to work in a common way with the Democrats to advance those interests. We took a very new approach to where we were. And to that end, I believe the Senate Republican Caucus and the House Republican Caucuses were able to prevail in getting some good things done. Now, clearly, this session didn't end, or there's a lot that was done that we would not have done if we were in the majority. But we weren't. And there were things that we are adamantly opposed to, like the governor's $3 billion tax increase he's going to ask the voters to vote on, and other things that we just didn't believe in and couldn't work with them on. But I'm proud of the things we worked with them on in a very, I would say, agreeable way at where we could. And I think that's the difference you're probably pointing to.
Well, and you know, even the fact of getting a state budget, which, you know, was such a major point of contention, you know, in the previous administration. But I think also helping that was the fact of that April surprise of unanticipated revenue, tax revenues, a result of the federal tax law changes, but that influx of money basically provided the bridge that prevented the need for any kind of tax increases to balance the budget.
You're right. And let's face it, Democrats are never going to vote majority to cut taxes like Republicans would. But that surprise, those resources were able for us to convince them that they didn't need to take another pension holiday. And I think using that wisely to counteract the initial budget that Governor Pritzker introduced, which would have taken over $800 million pension holiday, helped our argument and brought more rational sense. But it was a windfall that we didn't expect. But I think, although we would have used it maybe in some different ways, we did use it to counteract the governor's request to take a pension holiday, and pensions were not not diminished in terms of the investment the state needs to put into them.
One of the things when the governor first proposed his budget I had questions about, you know, in this kind of trying to create a collegial atmosphere and cross some of the partisan lines, if there, you know, might have been a better sense of buy-in for not only Republicans but also for Illinois voters to, you know, have some cuts and make some cuts in the budget.
Yeah, we had hoped for better reorganization of the budget. We had hoped for more of that kind of buy-in. We didn't see it come to fruition. But we know that we're in the minority, unfortunately. The voters chose to not reelect Governor Rauner, and they chose under this map to put a majority of Democrats in a position. So dealing with that, we dealt with the best ways in which we could. And I think some of the buy-in was we all know that our children are our highest investment and most important resource. So the investment in that educational program and our infrastructure to maintain and rebuild our economy, senior care as well, and those business reforms were a priority that we were able to find common ground. We stuck to that plan, and that's why I think Senate Republicans and House Republicans saw success in this session in spite of our minority interest.
Well, certainly the prospect of, you know, building upon that $350 million annual increase in education funding as part of the historic rewrite of the school aid formula, you know, that's significant enough. But then to even throw, you know, another $25 million on that, to increase higher education funding by 5%, and finally try to get some restoration of the things that are public colleges and universities lost during the budget impasse. I mean, there are some very good things in this budget.
But as you indicate, there was a need to rebuild. Our higher education is where we get our workforce from, be it a community college or a baccalaureate degree program. We know that under the budget impasse in the last several years, they took a hit, and it didn't advance the interest of our state. So there is clear need to focus on these areas, and as we continue to emphasize throughout this session, and I will say that I think some great success by us bringing issues to the table with the Senate Republicans that brought the investment in private universities to the table. You know, private universities educate over half of Illinois students, and we rely on them heavily, obviously, and to also increase the investment through MAP grants and other ways in the private universities was an important part. I think our voice was heard, and we were able to benefit. The people of Illinois were able to benefit from that.
We're speaking with the Senate Republican leader, State Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Skyline studio overlooking the Chicago River and Lake Michigan, kind of an angry-looking lake this Sunday morning. And joining me on the phone is Illinois Senate Republican leader Bill Brady from Bloomington. And we're talking about the recently completed spring legislative session. Leader Brady, one of the, I think, things that everybody was anxious to see in Springfield was the development of a capital plan. And knowing how neglected the infrastructure in this state is across the board, I mean, from roads and bridges to state facilities, gas tax increase, cigarette tax increase, gaming, all fundamental elements of funding this, drivers or a license plate fee increase, all parts of things that are needed to raise the money to be able to bond these programs. And yeah, 19 cents a gallon, doubling of the state motor fuel tax is significant, but still at the price of gasoline, and for what the needs are, you know, is there justification for that?
Well, Rick, it was a serious vote, a vote that we knew when we set on a path to try to work on a plan to rebuild our infrastructure we might face. As you know, I've never voted for a tax increase in my life. But when you look at our needs in this state, the people of Illinois, the commerce of Illinois deserves safe roads, economically advantageous roads. And at the end of the day, it was the only place the Democrats would go for the resources. I think there were other things that needed to be considered. But if you look at it, their rationale was that if it adjusted for inflation when it was last imposed, it would be at that level today, and that we have to do this. Now, we agree we have to invest or we lose our economic advantage and we put our public safety at risk. So it was a very difficult vote for anyone who voted for it because we realized the hardship it may put on some people in their families. But I think what we're going to get out of it will be an overall better investment that will increase economic activity and I think increase livelihood and economic opportunity for all Illinois citizens.
Well, and a couple of things, too, and as with that gas tax, as you note, it's now going to be indexed to inflation, which provides kind of a more pay-as-you-go opportunities for capital project repair, but also a kind of a shifting of the state sales tax that's imposed on gasoline and kind of phasing that into.
That was a big point for Republicans, that double tax not going into the road fund. And you mentioned something else. The lockbox that we passed that gave the people of the state the constitutional protection that their motor fuel monies would go to roads as opposed to being swept away like Governor Quinn and Governor Blagojevich into non-road programs, which also put our system at a very serious point. So there are some things that I think give taxpayers some assurances that weren't available to us before. It gave us even more reason to go along with this. But the point is, enhancing the public safety, enhancing our infrastructure, I think will enhance the lives of Illinois citizens and give them greater economic opportunity in the long run.
I also want to ask you, too, that, you know, despite being in the minority, there were concessions made as part of the budget agreement regarding various kind of tax incentive programs to help business. And the creation of a data center tax incentive, I truly, until this came up, I had no idea about the kind of competition that existed across the country for these data centers.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. The Chicago Chamber of Commerce was instrumental in this, realizing that there are opportunities, particularly in Chicago, but other parts of the state. House Republicans joined us and helped lead the way on creating some of these opportunities to make Illinois more competitive. Our goal was to, we know businesses want to be here, but we know they have to be able to compete with other businesses in other states. So this was, I think, a big win for the Chicago Chamber of Commerce and Republicans as we were able to put this in place that will create more economic opportunity and advantage for Illinois businesses.
And there were other issues, pro-business issues as well. Granted, you know, the fact is that the business is not happy about the increase in the minimum wage that was signed into law earlier by Governor Pritzker, but things like eliminating the Illinois franchise tax, which that's long been on the agenda of Republicans in the state of Illinois.
It has, and over 5 years that will be phased out, saving over $176 million, a high priority for us. And let me speak to the minimum wage. What Republicans worry about, like when government fiat raises the minimum wage, is the people who lose their jobs. We know businesses will have to lay people off. We lost 50,000 jobs when Rod Blagojevich last raised the minimum wage. And the fact that there was no regionalization for this really, I think, will be harmful. So we believe in higher wages, but we just believe in higher wages by a stronger economy and building that economy so that supply and demand create a greater need for a workforce. And that, I think that's the shortfall of the Democrat policies, is government fiat can't solve that problem. Economic development has to.
Well, and certainly, you know, one of the arguments that Republicans have been making in regards to this push by Governor Pritzker to successful push through the legislature that will put on the November 2020 ballot the question of whether Illinois should change its constitution to go from a mandated flat rate income tax structure to a graduated rate tax structure is also billed as something that by opponents is something that could hurt jobs.
Well, look, Governor Pritzker wants to put on the ballot and the Democrats a $3+ billion tax increase. They self-professed that this is a $3+ billion tax increase. Now, we worked with them on a bipartisan way and we balanced the budget. The question, one of the questions is, why do you need a $3 billion tax increase? And the voters should reject that overwhelmingly. The second question is, we can't make it any easier for the Democrats to raise taxes on middle-income families. And that's what this does. So middle-income families are the backbone of our economy. And we saw the largest exodus in middle-income families in the last tax race. So this is going to be our number one differentiating opinion. The government needs to live within its means. We don't need that under $3+ billion, and we can't threaten middle-income families with this. So it's going to be, I think, the biggest campaign theme leading to 2020 on a statewide basis. And we have to work hard to make sure the voters reject this threat to middle-income families.
You know, it was interesting. I thought that the legislature, given kind of the public outcry towards property taxes, which I would argue is probably, you know, another influencing factor in those who talk about people who are leaving the state, but that there really not much was accomplished except for creating a task force on property taxes.
Right. As I said, there were many things that would have been done differently under Republican control. This was one of them. We don't believe there's been enough emphasis. Now, I'm going to be the first to admit local citizens need to get more engaged in their school boards and those activities. One of the reasons we did fight for more funding for education was that it provides relief to school districts in terms of property taxes. But we've got to solve this property tax crisis. We're losing far too many people who are exiting the state because our taxes are too high. So property taxes and defeating this $3+ billion tax increase that the Democrats are asking the voters to choose on are two of the biggest things that we have to do. Under Republican control, there's no question in my mind we would have had a bigger voice and a better emphasis. Now, we're not going to ignore this task force. We're going to have members on there that are going to speak about it, and we're going to come up with good ideas about how we solve this. We just hope that the Democrats will listen.
But in some respects, don't you need perhaps new revenue to offset or to create a reduction in local property taxes with the state assuming a greater share of funding education that would result in kind of some substantial property tax relief?
Which is why it was so important that we passed the education reform proposal a couple of years ago under Governor Rauner. I think that puts us in a path to understanding the challenges. Now we have to construct a way in which to put Illinois funds in a majority interest in investing in education and not property taxes, particularly under the new federal laws at the state, at the federal level, that only allow a $10,000 deduction in your federal income tax based on SALT. So this is a serious measure that we're going to tackle and come up with good ideas on. We just hope the Democrats who control the legislature will listen.
Well, we'll be awaiting whatever the outcome of that, the recommendations of that task force are, and maybe it'll be different than the previous five task forces that we had on property tax relief.
We're going to make it as real as we can make it, Rick, and it's never been more important than it is today.
That's Illinois Senate Republican Leader Bill Brady, State Senator from Bloomington. Leader Brady, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, and thanks to your listeners for taking the time to listen to what we have to say. We appreciate it.
We'll be back with more right after this.